Hey, all you pet stylists, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and star of the show from Tucson, Arizona, and groomblog.blogspot.com, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hi, groomers. Hello, Susie. What's up today?
Happy day, Barbara. Welcome to episode 124 of the Groom Pod, recorded on June 11th. June 11th. Here we are, 2017 in Snohomish, Washington, and Tucson, Arizona. This week on the Groom Pod, we're going to talk a little bit about common grooming mistakes and how to prevent slash fix them. We are going to learn about Willard's water, and we're going to take a Facebook question from Laura about carding. So you can join our discussion by finding us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/thegroompod. You can subscribe to the Groom Pod on Stitcher, on iTunes, on Google Play, or pretty much anywhere else you get podcasts. And you can find all things Groom Pod related, including the place where you can tip your hosts, our donation button, and the place that you guys frequent oh so often, our Amazon banner, at www.groompod.com. Remember to apparently continue sharing it with your friends, because we are having this massive growth right now, which I'm so grateful for, and support our sponsors. What's new this week? Brought to you by Barbara's Shopping Site. Shop for specialty grooming items at www.shop.beaver.biz. Shop with a groomer, it's good karma. All right, Barbara, what is new and exciting with you?
Well, I saw the hand doctor.
Oh, I bet that was interesting.
That was very interesting. And so we talked about my trigger thumb and my trigger fingers, and he poked around my hands, and we identified that it was the ring finger on each hand and the thumb that were the most problematic. And he said, well, do you want the shots? And I said, yeah, having had the cortisone shots in my knee, and it's, I knew that they were painful but productive, right? So I said, yeah. So he comes back in with these four syringes, and he proceeds to hit my, stick it in my thumb. And I tell you, I have never experienced such excruciating pain. And I, out of my mouth came, son of a bitch!
I'm sure you scared the people in the other office.
Oh, I'm sure, because I mean, I'm telling you, it was full volume. And then I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I was so proud I didn't drop the F-bomb, you know, because that showed great control on my part. But then I had to do three more.
So where in your thumb were the shots going?
Well, right at the base of the thumb, right where the band is that catches the ligament that makes for the triggering, you know? And I said, my shots in the knee never hurt this bad. And he said, well, you have a lot more nerve endings in your hands. And then I went, and then I read something. I came home and I read something online where it said that his shots didn't hurt at all because the doctor injected a little bit of lidocaine ahead of the steroid, and it numbed it. And why didn't I get that?
No kidding.
You know, like, what the fuck? I was.
Now that's appropriate.
And I had, for all the rest of the day, my thumb and my ring finger on both hands were completely numb. And my wrist was sore. And so I had I did read and say and notice that there is sometimes a flare effect that happens. And then I worked all week, and there is improvement.
There is improvement.
There is improvement, but it's not 100%. So I didn't have any actual locking of my joints, but I had some almost locking them. I had some sensations that said, uh-oh, that's going to happen, but then it didn't happen. And, you know, like, it's especially problematic for when I hold paws and do nails. It's really interrupted. My hand problem has interrupted my ability to do the nails real nicely. So, I got through. It's a lot better. That's all I can say. But I think probably I'll end up getting the surgery.
What can we do to prevent it from happening to us, those of us who don't have it already? I got an entirely different thing. I have basal joint arthritis, and there's no reversing that.
Well, I think I have some of that too.
Did he give you exercises or anything?
No, he didn't. But I would say, I think it's really important to stretch out your fingers several times a day. I mean, just open your fingers as wide as you can and stretch that stuff out. That I think that helps. That's what I've been inclined to do now after the shots. I mean, my body is telling me to do that, so I'll pass that on. I think there again, the worst thing that we do as groomers is that we bring all the physical and emotional stresses of the job home, and then we just sit on them or lie on them, you know.
And just like in gymnastics, you're doing a repetitive motion that is continuously the same direction. And to compensate for that, your body will atrophy in that opposite direction if you don't do things like lift your arms up, because our arms are always down, and look up into the sky because we're always looking down, things like that. So I think you're right. I think the opposite of holding an ear is opening your hand as far as possible. So stretching out those hands.
Stretching out your hands and shoulder rolls. I'll just remind you again, because we hunch our shoulders over our dogs a lot. And I've become so inflexible in my shoulders. It's just kind of sad. But so that's where I'm at physically. I think somewhere down the line, I'm looking at hand surgery. And he said that I should be able to work without only a couple of weeks off. Just depends. Yeah, they always say it depends.
That's true. But, well, that's interesting.
That was new for this week. And then another interesting thing that happened yesterday was that I had to jump from my groomer's hat into my therapist hat.
Oh, my.
With one of our customers, you know, like that. The fact that I have 12 years experience as a counselor and mental health professional kind of comes into play in my customer relations. But I had this young woman come in to get her dog. And it seems to me, if I remember correctly, she lost her husband about a year ago. And this girl, she's a physical therapist. She's an instructor. She's, you know, she's a positive person.
She's a giver.
She's a giver. You know, she likes us because we have a low stress, personal attention kind of place. And she brings her little chow mix to us for our energy. You know, she likes our energy.
I get it.
So here she was actually kind of, she was like fluttering her hands around her face and kind of tearing up and just saying she was having a sad day and all of this and that. And I just like shifted and I just talked to her a little bit, and I didn't try to pull anything out of her, but I just told her how we see her and see her as strong, and that when you're a happy person, you can't be that all the time. You know, it becomes...
Really?
it becomes inauthentic at a certain point, you know. So you're bound to have some down days, and I touched her. You know, I touched her, I hugged her, I touched her on her face. This is not something you would normally do with your customer, but you can, you know, like when it comes from your heart, it's acceptable. And she left feeling more supported and more you know, in her life than she did when she came in. So that made me feel real good.
Wow, your grooming dollars at work.
Yeah, right. I always say that. For only $60, you got a half hour therapy.
That's right. It's awesome. We have such diverse skills. I had an interesting week. I discovered something about myself. I don't know if I told you, but we have a stray cat that has moved into our house or into the front yard.
Into the yard? Okay. No, I didn't know that.
Yes, we've named him Rusty Bert the Pirate. We call him Bert. And he is a TNR cat. He's been trapped, neutered, and released. But he is not a feral cat. This cat so craves human attention. It took him about 3 weeks of laying outside the door of our house, looking in, going, I think I'm supposed to be in there, or at least I'm supposed to be here because you have other cats here. So I finally stuck my hand out the screen door, and he, of course, was running away anytime anyone would come near him. But he really liked my calico cat, and he would lay next to her and roll. And I'd put my finger up to the screen door, and he would rub against my finger through the screen door. So I slid the screen door open, and I stuck my hand out, and he came and rubbed on my hand. And needless to say, now, every time I go out, he jumps in my lap, and he lays on my feet so I don't walk away. He's just this lovely orange tabby, dilute orange tabby cat. He's a cool guy, but it turns out I'm definitely a cat person. I love cats, and I've had more cats than dogs. That's a certainty. So I've got this little guy, and the guy who does My Cat from Hell. Have you ever seen that show?
No.
Oh, it's like The Dog Whisperer, only but with cats. Only he's quite.
Oh,
different.
Jesus!
He's rock and roller with tattoos everywhere, and he's got like this intricately patterned facial hair, and he's just this amazing cat therapist. He's just, and he's a people therapist too. But he was in the neighborhood, and I'm trying to figure out how to deal with this cat because I cannot bring him in because my parrot is too small. He's a medium-sized parrot. He's not quite as big as the gray, as the Congo grays. And Gooey was just really savvy and loud and would scream and bite hard. But this bird that I have now, Mr. Huckleberry, it's been a while since we've mentioned Mr. Huckleberry. He has no fear of the cats. He walks right over the top of the cats or stands right next to the cats. And I can't put him at risk by bringing in a cat that hunts for a living, basically.
Right.
So Jackson Galaxy happened to be in town, and he was on our local television show, our news channel, and they did a Facebook Live. And I was like, oh, I'm just standing here. I'm going to put the Facebook Live on. So I'm sitting there with the Facebook Live. And they asked for questions, so I got to have an interaction with Jackson Galaxy on Facebook Live.
Cool!
I know. And I said, I've got this outdoor cat, and I have these indoor pets that, you know, that have priority because I'm the caregiver of their safety, and I'm trying to figure out how to take good care of the cat that's outside and what kind of a shelter he needs and what I can do for the winter, and I got berated for not bringing the cat in. And I'm trying to explain, but I can't. I have these, and there was just no time for that. And I was doing it by text.
Yeah.
So I got berated on Facebook for not bringing in the stray cat that will eat my rats and my parrot. But it was so exciting. It was so cool to talk to him. He's a cool guy. And I loved the show. And I was just, I had butterflies in my stomach, even just texting him on Facebook Live. So that was cool. But the other thing is I've been doing a lot of cats. It's cat season. And I'm doing cats like crazy. And I realize I love doing cats. I don't do cats that aren't willing. And with the exception of the one that bit the owner a couple weeks ago. But for the most part, they've been really great, easy, 7 shave downs and no baths, just tidy them up and send them on their way. And I did three yesterday. It was great. I loved it.
Good for you. Well, you know what? We have a mobile cat only groomer in Tucson now, and she's getting a lot of business, and I'm referring to her, and I'm actually moving away from doing the cats. I've just kind of lost the passion for that. I'm delighted that Gabby has taken that up, and she's got like 2 vans going now, and I think that covers our community well.
Yeah, it's much more convenient to not have to take your cat somewhere, to have somebody pull up out front. Interestingly enough, one of them yesterday was a senior housing, and the lady didn't have a carrier. And luckily I brought a carrier because, you know, I think ahead. But if I hadn't have thrown that carrier in, which usually isn't in my car, I have a fold down kind of an emergency.
Yeah, no, we talked about that a while back.
Yep.
That you got to have that. You got to transport from the home to the van in a carrier, or that cat can get away and or make a mess of you.
Both of them were huge. Or two of the three were huge yesterday, just over 20 pounds. Very cooperative. Cooperative over 20 pounds. One of them had a massive, way too much mane for this lady to handle. I mean, there was just mane everywhere on this cat. She's like, no, I want a little head. Look, perfect. I'm your girl. Whack, whack, whack. Off everything came. Did it with a 7-blade. Took me about 10 or 15 minutes. It was just pleasant and easy and no bath, and parked in a beautiful park across the street from the senior housing for that one. And the other one, it was great. It was just really a lovely day. And I just decided I'm a cat girl. I like cats.
Oh, good. Yeah. Good.
So another thing that happened this week that is extremely exciting, and I want to mention because I feel so good about it, is that both of our sponsors renewed for another year.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I mean, best shot for 6 more months. Of course, I know they're on board, though. And then the Blueberry Girls sent me their lovely endorsement as well. So I'm going to try to come up with some new ads for both of them, because I'm sure you guys are tired of hearing it. And there's so much more to say about both of our fantastic sponsors. But the thing I want to say is, if you guys are listening, thank you all so much for supporting us in such a great way. And then one more thing to our personal listeners out there. Our listeners have been going to Amazon in massive numbers. And all of a sudden, instead of getting the $20 check every 3 months, I've gotten a couple checks monthly. So that means we're getting up there. So I wanted to thank you guys for that. And Barbara, I was able to share a little bit of that with you after I looked at that check that came in this week. I'm like, oh, I can buy Barbara new headphones. So Barbara is sporting a lovely pair of new headphones.
And that ought to take care of our audio problems that we had during our webinar broadcast.
Where Let's there was talk a, about that webinar broadcast. That thing was so fun.
Wasn't that fun? It was really exciting to be kind of back in the saddle with the webinars. It's been 2 or 3 years since I've done the webinars. I've been paying for the webinar platform the entire time.
We so got a little work to do.
Yeah, I need to actually do a couple more webinars just to catch up with what I paid out to any meeting. And of course, what happened is that since I last broadcast live webinars, the platform has changed. And so it was a little bit of a learning experience, but we had a great time. And you know, the Any Meeting platform, I think, is an excellent format.
And I think we only had one real casualty, and that was High.
We had two. Yeah, we had High couldn't get in, and that was all my fault because I didn't enter his phone number, and he tried to come in on the phone. So if you're going to use the phone for your audio, you need to make sure that I have the phone number, and I promise to enter everybody's. That he was the only one whose phone number I didn't enter, and it's probably because he was the very first enrollee. Then we had another person that from Hawaii that couldn't get in, and these kinds of things will get sorted out. And sometimes it's not our fault. It's the fault at the other end. It's the server. It's the connection at the home. It can be any number of things. It takes pretty good, strong internet connection to support a webinar.
And as the official technical support staff for the Groom Pod and for Barbara's webinars, I just want to say we apologize for any of the glitches that happen, and we will get better at it. I have been combing all of the important videos about how to work the system, and I will get better and better at it. And it's, you know, I didn't really know I was tech support until like half an hour before we went live, but I don't even know, actually, it was the night before. So I did some study, but we'll get better at this. So we had some echo problems, which we think we've solved with the headphone situation. So when she does the next webinar, you're going to see she's wearing headphones, so she won't be quite as stunning as she normally is. But the headphones are a necessity, because what happens is the microphone on her end picks up my voice twice because it comes through the screen with a little bit of delay. So that was what was happening with the majority of the echoing issues. And then occasionally we get internet computer voice, and that has more to do with internet speeds and stuff like that, and we can't control that one. But the talking over and the echo, that I think we've got managed. So yay for the technical support department. I'll take a bow now. Thank you very much. And here's the important thing. What are we doing next, Barbara?
We're going to do 2 monthly sessions on Beyond Suds and Scent. And what I've decided to do this year is to separate the shampoo and the conditioners. There's just too much information for me to pack it in 1, even 2 hour session. And the more I learn, the more I want to share, the more it just becomes a longer presentation. And so I'm going to do Beyond Suds and Scent, the shampoos, on, and it's going to be the first Sunday in July.
July 2nd.
July 2nd at same time.
11 o'clock Pacific time.
11 o'clock Pacific time. And then the following month, on the first Sunday of August, we'll do conditioner love. And we'll get into a lot more about conditioners, some of which we touched on in Coat Damage, but it's going to be a much more comprehensive, expanded view of conditioners and how they work and what the options are and that kind of stuff.
So as far as the Groom Pod goes, on the Sundays that we're doing the webinars, I have not figured out where I can cram in another hour and a half to 2 hours of recording time without losing 2 hours of sleep. So I'm trying to figure it out. But for the time being, on that first weekend of the month, we will not record a Groom Pod. Instead, we'll do the webinar. And if, in fact, we can find a time to record a Groom Pod, we'll release a regular Groom Pod. If we can't, though, it'll be a best of, carefully chosen at random from the Groom Pod archives. So it's just got to be that way, because I just have no more hours in the day. And as much as I wanted to try to record this week, I could never find a spot where I wouldn't come on and go, "Hi, this is Susie. It's 9:30 at night. We're doing the Groom Pod." So we'll work it out. But in the meantime, you may get that stuff.
I have never seen you be, "Hi, this is Susie."
Because you've never seen me at 11 o'clock at night.
I have seen you at 11
just
o'clock
once
at night.
Just at the Styx concert.
No, Susie's the energizer bunny. She never runs down people. It's amazing.
It's subtle, but I do. It's subtle. So the webinar, Beyond Suds and Scents, the first portion, which is the shampoo portion, July 2nd at 11 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time for $39.95. And you can sign up when we let you know. You can sign up for it. It'll be at the shopping cart.
I'm planning on getting that up in the next day or so.
Okay.
And everybody that attended the Coat Damage seminar, webinar, will get an automatic invitation, because now we're building a body of people, you know, for the webinar. So everybody that signs up for the last one will get an automatic invitation for the next one.
And are we going to sell the video?
We'll sell the video. You know, the recording will be for sale following the initial broadcast.
Right. So as a matter of fact, I believe there's a recording up right now from the Coat Damage seminar, isn't it?
Right.
What's the cost of that?
It's $39.95.
Excellent. And it's at shop.bieber.biz. And, you know, it's good to be there live, because you can ask questions, but there's just as much benefit in having it afterwards, so you can watch it a couple times. Now, here's the thing. this is Barbara's intellectual property. So think of it as having somebody's, you know, video or book or something like that. You don't want to go handing it out and passing it around to your friends because this is how she's going to earn her living. So be thoughtful about the copyright issues. We're going to put a copyright disclaimer in the beginning of the next one, but we did not do this one. So we're going on good faith that the Groom Pod listeners are the best of people and that nobody's going to go passing this along to other people, that you keep it for yourself. We're happy to have you guys have it. And we want to provide more of this. And Barbara's been giving us her time for 2 years for like, you know, $100 a year. So the fact that we can provide a platform to sell the webinars for her and maybe make a little bit of a better living for her is just, well, it's my goal. So you go.
It comes right at the right time, because the truth is my time at the table is narrowing down.
Yeah, I don't like hearing that.
Yeah, well, it is. And I'm just real excited because I have a slow week next week, and I'm going to have 5 days in a row off for the first time since I went to New Zealand and Australia.
Very exciting prospect. I hope you do something to really treat yourself well. And I know you've got some plans to do some cleaning and have some fun.
Yeah, take care of myself.
I like it. So let's take care of our sponsors here and hear from Best Shot. And then we're going to be back with our first appointment, where we will discuss some common grooming mistakes. You know, groomers, your salon runs on shampoo and conditioner, and what you choose to bathe with can make or break the quality of your work, productivity, your health, and even your career. Sure, there's a ton of shampoo lines to choose from, but if you haven't tried Best Shot's innovative systems, you may be working too hard. You owe it to yourself to check out bestshotpet.com. Discover firsthand why so many groomers rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. That's bestshotpet.com. Learn more about using their three-step system and how Best Shot mindfully formulates using advanced grooming technologies, combining the very best nature and science has to offer. Whether it's their three-step system, the one-shot odor annihilator, Ultramax Pro Line, MED skin treatments, or the amazingly aromatic and fun Sentiment Spa Collection, Best Shot has something tailored just for groomers that really works. For over 25 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claim to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. What are you waiting for? Contact your favorite distributor or catalog and get some Best Shot today. I love them. Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. All right, Barbara, I racked my brain about some common grooming mistakes. I'm not sure if this is exactly what you had in mind, but this is what I came up with. Either way, they're a good discussion topic.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what I had in mind either. My mind just popped this up about, we never talk about mistakes. we never talk about screw-ups. What is a screw-up? What is a mistake? What would be a mistake?
Right, so I had to examine that because you didn't send me a list of mistakes. So I had to create it myself. So hopefully this is kind of what you had in mind. Now, of course, my notoriously gigantic mistake is one that we all know and we've talked about here a gazillion times. And I'll just say it. It's the pointy toes. I have pointy toes. That's a classic beginner grooming mistake, and I'm still making it like 20 years in now. God. Oh, help me with my pointy toes. Now, here's one thing I've been doing. Recently, I've been not doing the nails until after I've done the feet. So I've got a little extra cushion of not pointing them by leaving those big long nails in there. What else can I do?
Okay, so why is pointy feet a fault or a mistake? It's because it makes the dog look unsteady. It makes the dog look like Chinese lady with bound feet. You know, it's one thing to do a terrier foot with beveled toes and have it look like he's, quote, on his toes. But it's another thing to just have these itty bitty little triangle feet underneath a fluffy Bichon. Couple of things. Do the feet first.
feet first. Yeah.
Feet first. And do the front of the feet before you do the sides of the feet. Pointy feet come from being too close to the sides and following the actual foot contour instead of making a rounded teddy bear foot. Now, on a teddy bear foot, you don't want a great big muffin foot. You just want it to be nice, and it's going to be the same fullness as your legs. So if you have something where, you know, like pointy feet are kind of, they're going to happen anyway if it's a seven blade clip down. Yeah, you're going to have a little tiny pointy feet. But if you're doing something four blade or above, you want a rounded teddy bear foot that forms the foundation of your column legs.
Okay, so in this case, I now made the pointy foot and I say, oh shoot, do I pick up the hair and glue it back on the top of the foot at that point? Or do I make a joke about it with the client? What do I do? Because now I have a pointy foot. Shoot.
Well, the chances are the clients are not going to notice it so much. But that's no excuse to just simply do it. You know, so what do you do? What do you do when you have the oh shoot moment?
Yes.
Well, you can. I had a girl who worked for me that would try to glue hair back on when she made. I mean, it was a joke, but I could never correct her because she would grab a little tuft of hair and stick it back on the dog. She's there. You go. Oh God, help. What you could do. Well, first of all, you could comb the leg down and see if you can get a little bit more hair down around the sides of the foot. Because it's usually because you've taken off too much off the sides, you know, and then the natural formation of the foot shows.
Up tighter on the heel. Just make it worse?
Yeah, you got to be careful about that. See, because that's another mistake that happens. Sometimes what happens when people are doing clipping out the pads of the feet, they go behind that back pad and go up too high. And that in itself tends to lead to a pinched foot. A pinched foot is a good term for it. It's pinched. It's not balanced with the rest of the dog. So it's best to just like comb it down
and don't do it the next time
and see if you know, like, don't just let that be your excuse to do all the other feet pointy.
An interesting thing. So you wouldn't do the others to match. You would maybe match just the other front foot and do the back ones correctly, maybe something like that.
Yeah, okay. You want to see what you've got to learn how to not do that. So if you keep doing it and then matching the other 3 feet, you're just not learning how to do it on that dog. How do I achieve a more round foot on that dog? And I actually do the toenails first, but that's up to you. Any way that you can kind of train yourself to leave a little bit more. Now, you don't want one of the things that Michelle Evans taught me at my certification is that you don't want any of the hair around the foot pad touching the ground, you know, but that doesn't mean that you shave all the way up the side.
Right. I call that high waters.
Yeah.
Give the dog's foot high waters. Okay. Well, full confession, since you and I have been talking about it in the last year and a half, I've been practicing my scissors. I am way better, but I do occasionally catch the really funny looking foot. And you know, it's always the same foot too. That's the other thing, is I notice it's the same foot, and I'm not sure why it's that foot, but it's always the same foot.
Is it the right forefoot?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Okay, so what's another one?
Clipper lines.
Oh yeah, you know.
And even as an experienced groomer, I end up with clipper lines. We talked a little bit last week about reverse clipping to fix that. What else can you do?
Blending shears.
Yeah, the magic erasers.
You know, yeah. So there's a couple of choices that you have. You can try using another blade. same size and see if that cleans up. Because sometimes it's a function of that your blade's not moving well. You know,
good point.
The cutter is dirty or gummy and it's not going back and forth at the right speed. So it could be that your blade needs sharpening, or it could be that you've got fuzzy. So, you know, where it's really hard to get to not make clipper lines is when you're clipping the back of a Westie.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Or Conkers.
So the best thing to avoid clipper lines on a Westie or a Cocker is to card the coat first. Just use your stripping knife. Yeah, you know, I use stripping knives a lot going like, how can I, what is this motion?
Backwards?
Backwards, yeah. I'm kind of going down the length of the body, pushing the knife away from me. And I can card a lot out of a little terrier that way. And of course, I don't press too hard because I don't want to abrade the skin. But I just gently push the stripping knife away from me and it picks up a lot of fuzzy stuff. So that fuzzy stuff is what cuts too deep when you're clipping the Westie. So it's best to try to avoid that. And if you're going to have some clipper marks on a terrier, you want them to be kind of evenly distributed. So that it looks like textured hand strip coat, okay?
Especially when it grows back in. It makes that nice, 3D effect.
You know, but see, for me, the bigger mistake is when you're coming down the side, if you gouge into the skirt, that's a common one. So you need to really learn how to skim off. So that means that you lessen your pressure as you're coming down the side and let that line slip off and then just go over it a few times rather than trying to do each to go all the way into that coat to the length of the skirt that you're going to leave. So you want to skim off and not gouge in, and you have to lighten up.
There you go. And that takes practice. And, you know, talking about that particular mistake, what do you do when you've made a hole?
Well, you can go over that hole with a snap-on comb. So snap-on combs can kind of help you. Snap-on combs really help you blend the bottom of the terrier skirts, Westies or Scotties or Cockers. And because they offer kind of an in-between area. And then again, you can use your blending shears straight up and try to just kind of buff the edges of that gouge mark so that it sort of
so you're softening the edges, right?
Yes.
Softening it so that it blends in a little bit better.
Right.
To your eye, basically. Okay. Along that same line, sometimes when I'm doing a Westie head, when I was learning, I would do one half of the head with the shears going up or the blenders going up, and the other half of the head with the blenders going down. And it would create this kind of off-centered look on the dog's head, kind of a lopsided head. But I wouldn't really notice it until the dog grew back in, you know, a little bit later and it exaggerated itself. So I just wanted to say to you guys out there, what you do on one side of the dog, go the same direction on the other side of the dog. Like, don't go up underneath. If you're going up underneath, go up underneath on both sides. If you're coming down over the top, go down over the top on both sides.
And I do, on Westie and Bichon heads, I do advise that you go under the chin and up.
Yeah, it makes it look better, stand up better, I think.
It really does.
Yeah, so that's another, just a little tip. Okay, and we often talk about my uneven ears as well. And sometimes, every time somebody gives me a tip about how to do ears better, I like it. So let's talk about ears here.
Oh, I've got some ears to show you.
Oh, good. Oh, pink ears. They're adorable.
Pink and blue, two-colored ears.
I love it. Oh, yeah, look at that.
Look at that. And you know what's cool? This is Leah, and I colored her ears pink on the top and blue on the bottoms, and I was somehow able to have them match up. Look at the pink is about the same.
That is
You
gorgeous.
know, so isn't that pretty? It's just a little glamorous touch for this little mutt. Well, she's
Oh,
a Maltese, but
I love that Asian inspired face. It's gorgeous with the colors. It frames her so beautifully. So what most commonly happens to me as I'm hacking away at the ear is it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter, and I cannot seem to make the two of them look the same. Like if I look at the ear on the right of the dog, it's beautiful. If I look at the ear on the left of the dog, it's fantastic. It frames the dog head. I mean, it just curves underneath and just looks spectacular. But if I try to look at both sides of the dogs at the same time, they never quite look exactly right. So give me your best tips for that.
One of the things that you can do is before you do the second ear, you can pull the ears down under the chin and see where they meet in the middle. And that'll give you an idea of how much you got to take off that other ear. Because when you've been doing this back and forth over a period of time, it's harder to correct. So I would just pull those ears down under the chin, see where they meet, and cut there on both sides.
I do a lot of shorter ears. So, I take the ear up, I shake it out, I trim contour with the ear leather, and then I try to do the same thing on the other side, and it just doesn't come out. I try to go the same direction, and I get one ear that looks really good straightforward, and one that looks better kind of twisted, and it's got to be the way I'm holding the ear or something. It's just ever so frustrating. There must be other people out there who have this problem. I couldn't possibly be the only one.
Silence, dead silence.
Well, and
Well,
how about
yeah, see,
snap-on combs over the ears?
I use snap-on comb over the ears a lot because I like shorter, kind of muffy ears, and scissoring the ears itself is pretty tricky. But I think that I think a bigger mistake that I see in novice groomers is not stretch drying the ears well. So if the ears are kinky and not thoroughly blown out and straightened, then it's harder to get a good even line on both ears. And the ears just don't look finished. People love their dog's ears.
I
It's a,
know.
it's amazing what features people get attached to. You need to kind of find out what's the favorite feature. Some people are so I had a Bichon came one winter, and he had the most lovely plume tail I had ever seen. So it was clear that that's what I needed to really be careful with. Definitely didn't trim that tail. Of course, I don't trim any Bichon's tails, but we did the whole tail almost like it was a dog in itself. Really, really straightened that tail out. Really made it be its most beautiful, because that was one of the things that those people saw all the time when they looked at their dog. That's what caught their eye. So,
Yeah, and ears definitely catch the
and
eye.
ears definitely catch the eye, and you need to be real careful with people that you have permission to shorten or completely change the ears. You need to know where you can do that and where you can't. But I think that it's much harder to get even ears if you don't have the ears thoroughly straightened out during drying. I don't think that's your mistake. But yours almost just seems like a visual problem that you might have. I have a tendency to have lopsided top knots.
Okay.
And And I think it's something of a function of my bifocals and my I know that I've got stigmatism in one eye and not in the other. And I think that that's the kind of thing that kind of makes me have a little bit more trouble with the right side of the dog.
I have a lot of head tilters as well.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, which makes, I mean, I already have a hard enough time. Really? You got to tilt your head every time I step back?
Oh, I know. I mean, you try to hold their head and they immediately, forcefully are tilting it. Harry, the little brown poodle, does that with me. And I have to, like, contort myself to kind of get straight with him. And I'm tilting my head to match his head tilt while I'm trying.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. Well, what do you, and you'd be surprised what strength with which they can tilt those heads.
Yep,
yeah, like, true. Oh man, what we go through, huh?
Yeah, it's true. Let's see if there's anything else that I really want to cover.
Okay, I'm going to identify another kind of common mistake. So, if you look at, this is a terrier mistake. If you look at your terriers at the show, you will notice that there is always a extension of the front of the back leg hair that flows into the undercarriage. And this is even true of Bichon. So it is a mistake to clean out that flank too much, because what it does is it, bam, cuts the dog not even in half, but it just makes the dog look unbalanced.
Guilty as charged. Yeah, I actually wrote this down because I know it's one of those things that I tend to do. And then I was like, if we're getting close on time, maybe I won't bring that up. And then go and bring it up. Yeah, that flank area.
You know what that screw up comes from? That screw up comes from your compulsiveness.
Yeah, I know. I know that exactly where it comes from.
That comes from your discomfort of having anything there. And so you just scissor it. The only place where it's really okay to take all of that off is the Bedlington. You know, the Bedlington, you want this big, curvy tuck up, and you just go right to the edge of the flank skin, you know. But on everybody else, you want to leave a little bit of feathering between the front of the back leg and the beginning of the undercarriage. And otherwise, you just, it makes them look all pinched at the waistline.
Maybe I'll make that this year's best intention, is to try to correct my flaw there. Since I've been working on the front of the feet, I've got that one much better. I'll focus in on that flank area. The only other thing that I can think of is one time I had, I was training a girl to groom. She was using a clipper back and had one of the longer, like the green, although it wasn't, it was probably one of those A, B, or C combs, probably the B or C comb on there for when we used to use the Labe ones. And she was changing combs and she took the comb off and got interrupted and then went right back to the dog with the 30 blade on and mohawked right down the back of the dog's back. That is a beginner mistake.
Hey, it's not just a beginner mistake. Remember, I did that exact thing in the grooming clinic with Denise's dog.
Oh, that's right.
And a whole audience in front of me, and I was using the speed feed clipper with the combs to demonstrate.
I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, and I did that. That was beyond an oh shit moment. That was an oh fuck moment.
Yeah, the only thing you can do to recover from that is have a really good comedy routine that you can do when you take that dog back. Because it's too late.
It's too late. I know. I just had to, I just felt like such a beginner. And I was there, like, talking away, and there it went.
Oh, yes. Well, there you go. That's
I said, well, this is an opportunity to teach you how to blend.
All right. Well, that's a great segue for our introduction to the next segment, which will come right after South Bark Professional Pet Products tells us about their fantastic pet foam. Groomers, we all know that the first thing doggy moms and dads do when they pick up their beautifully coiffed babies from us is they go in for a cuddle, right? That first cuddle is so important because it gives them the opportunity to really enjoy their freshly groomed and sweet-smelling pups. Well, our friends over at South Bark Professional Pet Products have a new item that's sure to bring a smile to all of those pet parents and groomers, too. South Bark, as you know, is the originator of the now famous South Bark's Blueberry Facial. They are located in sunny San Diego, California, where founders Lisa Vella and Donna Walker, also known as the Blueberry Girls, operate a dog wash and consumer pet store, as well as a wholesale distribution center. These amazing ladies have come up with an entirely new product that really has us here at the Groom Pod excited. It's a foaming cleanser with a fabulous new fragrance. It smells like blueberries and coconut, two of my personal favorite smells. I can't wait to try it. It's good for slobber mouth, goober eyes, and strategic stinkiness. The real neat thing is that you don't have to rinse it out. And to top it off, it's a foam, so it's extra safe for using around the eyes. You know how much Barbara and I love foam for faces. South Bark's Blueberry Coconut Pet Foam comes in a generous 8.5-ounce foamer and is safe for use on dogs, cats, puppies, and kittens. This is sure to be a favorite in shops as a retail item or in the bathing room for pre-washing faces and loosening those eye boogies. If you would like more information or to place an order, you can go to the website www.southbarkprofessionalpet.com or you can call them at 1-877-232-2235. And remember to look for the Blueberry Girls and their products at many of our grooming trade shows and seminars. The definition du jour. It's definition du jour time, Barbara. Tell us about Willard's water.
Yeah, well, I read that somebody brought up this Willard's water. It's been now touted. What can I say? Okay, so Willard's water is very interesting because it's not supernatural. It's actually molecularly manipulated water. Right.
Is it like ionized water or something like that?
No, it's actually, it's got stuff added. There's two kinds of Willard's water. There's clear and there's dark water. So what this water does is it contains electrolytes that give it a special properties. Okay. And it's changed, the molecular structure has been altered or reorganized to make the water wetter and to form micelles.
Okay. Oh, we know about micelles.
We know about micelles. So micelles enter in this into this catalytic altered water. That's CAW water, catalyst altered water. The main ingredient in Dr. Willard's water is known as the CAW micelle or the catalyst altered water micelle. Now, that's kind of woo-woo. I am trying to approach Willard's water with an open mind. It's a little difficult because it's kind of like snake oil. You know, I mean, it's got, whenever there's a huge amount of claims for a product, my skepticism scale goes off, you know, like, whoa, wait a minute. But I'm still trying to stay neutral. There's two kinds of Willard's water, clear and dark. The clear water is composed of water, sodium silicate, calcium chloride, magnesium sulfate, and sulfated castor oil.
That has a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah, it's not just water. Okay. Well, we got to know that. And that's the light.
Wow.
The dark, and these ingredients are combined in a in a kind of an electrolysis process that creates a caloric particle.
Okay.
Now listen to this. The particle has an electrical field surrounding it, which polarizes the water, creating an arrangement of water molecules to each other in space that makes it more reactive. Holy what?
I don't believe that. It's either water or it's not, right?
It's not water. It's not water. It's water that's been added to and been subject to molecular intervention.
Okay.
So it's non-natural, but it's harmless. It's okay. Been shown to be harmless. The dark version, that's the clear version of Willard's water. The dark version contains activated carbon, amino acid, organic trace minerals, and other ingredients from the lignite coal deposits in North Dakota.
Oh, wow. Is that where Willard is from?
Willard's dead.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's not the guy on the TV?
No. Willard's dead. He died sometime back. His sons have maintained the business. They have a very state-of-the-art manufacturing facility where they make this stuff. The main ingredient in Dr. Willard's water is known as a CAW micelle. This electrical charge colloidal particle, It's suspended in there, is what acts as a catalyst that changes the structure of the water. Upon altering the structure, the water attains properties that traditional water does not have. The new molecule structure of the water is able to enhance the natural processes in the body, such as the transportation and absorption of nutrients and the expel of waste and toxin. So this stuff goes back to the 80s. And it was a very wildly recognized back in the 80s and then kind of tucked away, and it's sort of coming back because things go around and come around. But I tried to find studies about the effectiveness or the efficacy of Willard's water. They say it's been tested, but I couldn't find any studies. I did find reference to a greyhound clinic that fed their greyhounds this Willard's water, and they started winning races.
That's interesting.
And they went from 8th place in their division to 3rd place in their division in just a couple of months. And when they stopped feeding the Willard's water, the dogs stopped winning the races.
Okay, so was it the dark water or the clear water? Because I'm thinking about running out and getting some now.
Yeah, I don't know. So, you know, like, there really are thousands of people who swear by Willard's water. It's usually used as a dietary supplement to make the body more alkaline and have more usage of nutrients. And so it promotes health, and it promotes a healthy immune system, and blah, 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 blah. What I saw on the Groom Pod discussion group was that now it's being claimed that it helps to remove eye boogies.
I know. That seemed like an odd choice of target. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
Around the eyes?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's... I don't know. I just don't know. The jury is out. The bee bird jury of one is out. I'm suspending my judgment. I may get a little, but a gallon costs $100. So I'm not buying a gallon. But apparently you just need to add a few teaspoons to some water and you have a solution that's effective. But I may try to get like an 8-ounce bottle of Willard's water and continue my investigation. I just can't find those studies. And that makes me uncomfortable when I can't find, you know, when they refer to their studies and it's all in-house studies by the manufacturer
or anecdotal
or you know, like thousands of anecdotal information that is available on Amazon, but that's the gallon. But there's some testimony there that's very interesting. Some people really claim that it has brought them health.
That's great if you're drinking it, but spraying it in your dog's goobers.
Well, I don't know. It's supposed, because it's supposed to make for a more effective water. Well, so does a surfactant.
Right. It's basically, you know, the
what's
you're
the
right.
difference? You know? What's you're the right. difference between a CAW micelle and a surfactant micelle? I'm not so sure I know.
And, well, irritability for the eyes, maybe. That would be
and the other thing is, I don't know about using something alkaline around the eyes, because what makes eye boogies smell is bacteria. And that's usually best treated with an acidic. Yeah, so boric acid is one of the things that's featured in an awful lot of tear stain products, you know.
And haven't you really found that a little bit of face wash and just water gets the eye boogies out? I mean, I don't think I need to have anything more than that. That's just me, though.
We use conditioner.
Okay, that works.
You know, but you have to be careful that you don't get conditioner in the eyes, because conditioner can be more irritating to the eyes even than soap, because it's cationic, right?
Right.
So it sticks. It sticks to the surface of the eye. Yeah, you got to be careful, but it will loosen gummy stuff and boogery stuff.
Yeah.
So sometimes we use a little dab of conditioner and a soft toothbrush.
If you're enjoying the Groom Pod and all the good things that happen here, and you want to help us continue to grow, consider doing your shopping at Amazon through our Amazon banner on the website. It won't cost you anything more, and the Groom Pod will get a percentage of your sale. This is by far the best way to help us pay for the show. Just go to our website, www.thegroompod.com, scroll to the bottom, and click on the Amazon ad. Then do your shopping as usual. We really appreciate each and every one of you guys who's been shopping at the Groom Pod's website. Thank you very much. Let's see what's happening at the grooming table. Okay, so we have a really quick question from Laura Hearn. I think that's how you say her name.
Yes.
And she asks, let me get to the question. There we go. She posts, when carding to reduce the likelihood of schnauzer bumps or pimples when shaving very short but not reverse clipping, do you card before or after the bath? Before gives you more grip, but will it also cause the follicle to be clogged when the dog is bathed? Carding after, will it damage already soft skin and hair? Let's tackle that one, Barbara.
Okay, so I do carding both in front and after a bath.
Really?
But you're going to get the most results before the bath. And it's not because you want dirty hair, but the sebum in the hair, the oil, the natural oils, help you to pick up and remove the soft undercoat. And the natural kind of static electricity in the hair, it's easier, you know, because you completely remove that when you bathe. So you get more results, but that doesn't mean you can't do some carding after the bath. I've done both. But when I do heavy carding before the bath, it's not going to clog the follicles, because the bath is going to remove any excess sebum that's hanging around the follicles. Actually, the carding will kind of loosen the sebum that's right at the surface of the skin. So it's, you know, if you were to card and then not bathe or use anything, then you might have some clogging. But the bath is going to take care of that. Now, will the will carding after the bath damage already soft skin or hair? Well, before or after the bath, carding can damage tender skin. You have to be careful. Anytime you're scraping, which is what you're doing when you're carding, you're scraping and raking and you're using tools that touch the skin, you've got to be aware that some dogs have compromised skin. And especially old dogs or unwell dogs, they can have, you know, I mean, we experience this with cats have freaking parchment skin. Old cats have parchment skin.
They sure do.
You know, and on old dogs can have parchment skin. And if it's been, the skin has been covered with matted hair, it can, the blood supply to the skin can be compromised so that that skin can just rip. You know, so we need to be very conscious when we're doing, we need to know what the health of the skin is. We need to look and say, okay, what am I dealing with here? Is this healthy skin I can go for it? Or is this skin I'm going to have to be treated a little bit more delicately? I like to also, when I've hand stripped a dog, I like to bathe it in a chlorhexidine shampoo.
Oh, that's a great idea. I love the chlorhex shampoos.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Cool. Well, okay. I think that wrapped that up really nicely. So that will also wrap up the Groom Pod for this week, because I've got a Northwest Spring Fling Mobile Grooming Roundup to go to.
Yay!
That I'm hosting. Yay! I can't wait to get to it. We have a lovely day. It's sunny. My husband's at a car show. It's all good. This is exciting. What are you doing today?
I haven't determined what I'm doing today. I'm probably going to try to get the next webinar up get the webinar. I have tied up all the loose ends from the last webinar, and it took me a week to do that. I appreciate everybody's patience because I just pedal as fast as I can around here. And,
Cool. Very true. So the next webinar, Beyond Suds and Scents, the shampoo portion, again, that will be July 2nd, 11 a.m. Sign up at shop.beaver.biz. Do a little shopping while you're there. Thanks for the Amazon support. Thanks for the donations. I think that's it, Barbara. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Eh?
All right, Susie.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Happy grooming, everybody.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.